The Vikings and 49ers are set for joint practice this week at TCO. Which players and matchups are we most excited to watch take place before their preseason matchup? It's all coming up next on Superior Sports Talk.
Care 11 sports anchor Reggie Wilson covers the Twin City sports scene nonstop. Luke Inman is ready to put him on the hot seat.
That's what you're going
to
do to me.
Instant analysis.
Yanked. Out you go.
Post-game breakdowns and red hot takes.
The Timberwolves need a stitch.
Reggie and Luke give you a daily dose of Minnesota sports with Superior Sports Talk. Part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. And it starts now.
We're back in the lab. Reggie and Luke back at it. Another episode, Superior Sports Talk, presented by Locked On Sports Minnesota. That's Care 11's very own Reggie Wilson with me, so life is good. Happy Tuesday, Reg. Big show lined up, breaking down the Vikes and 49ers joint practice this week.
Yeah, we got some visitors in town. Be on your best behavior, okay, Luke?
Buddy system. I'm going to need you, Reg, this week. Things could get wild. Hey, remember to follow along on the Lockdown Minnesota YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button there and on Twitter. Give us a follow at LockdownMIN. And remember, we're a podcast too, free and available on all platforms. Subscribe, drop us a five-star review, take us everywhere on the go so you never miss any of the action. To football we go. 22 days, week one of the NFL season kicks off. Vikes are back at practice today in a rare private session that will not be open to the public. And then Wednesday and Thursday, the 49ers are in town when the two teams will have joint practices together before playing in their second preseason game Saturday at home at the bank. Reggie, these joint practices are always so fun. If I were to go to one training camp day as a fan, I would pick joint practice 10 out of 10 times. It's like a buy one, get one coupon. It's a chance to see two professional teams on the field at the same time and finally see these guys go against some new competition, some fresh blood, get a great measuring stick of where everyone's at as far as an install and like progression standpoint. And that's just as a fan. But even more so for the coaches, it's like gold as an evaluator for them to say, okay, I've seen Cam Dantzler have a really nice camp and hold his own versus JJ and Thielen, but now let's see him and what he does versus another skill set, another bag of tools, a new play style. Guys like Deebo Samuel and Brandon Ayuk coming into town. You just can't put a price on those reps as an evaluator. It's just awesome. So which players are you most excited to see both on the 49ers and the Vikings matching up against some of those guys when they come into town these next 2 days?
Well, obviously it starts at quarterback. You know, you're excited to see Trey Lance. You're like, okay, all right, you've been knighted. You know, you've got it. You're the guy now. Like, go ahead and let's see what you could do against this Vikings defense. I think it'll be a good test for them, you know, going against those two first teams going against each other, just seeing like what they can do to match up and really cause Trey Lance to have some troubles. You know, when guys like Danielle Hunter and Za'Darius Smith are coming after him, like how's he going to respond to that? You know, and there's a lot to draw from that. On the other side, you know, you look at guys like Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, like, okay, what are they going to do coming back against this 49ers team? You know, neither of those two guys played in the preseason opener. And you're not really all that worried or concerned about them not getting the game rep in there. But, you know, now they get some competition other than the guys that they've been going against all camp. And now you want to see what they can do to show and prove, you know, that they're ready for the season. And also, you know, if Kirk Cousins is coming back, you know, from this COVID list, like, how's he going to look? Is he going to be ready to go? Or is it going to be Mannion and Mond taking most of the reps because Cousins is still trying to, you know, recover and work his way back from COVID? So you're looking at that. I think it's just going to be really fun. You know, you look at a guy who's really sassy, a guy like Andrew Booth Jr., and, you know, he's really kind of mixed it up. Got some penalties in that game against the Raiders. I almost said against Oakland, against the Raiders. And you're like, okay, like he's a fiery dude. And you just want to see, like, how he's going to match up against other competition to see what he can show and prove. Because, you know, he's one of those feisty dudes. And he kind of gets a little too physical. I think he's still kind of learning about the NFL and what he can and can't do. And, you know, we expect him to be uber talented and really contribute to this team, but he's got to rein it in a little bit and really focus on technique as well.
Yeah, a lot of great call-outs, a lot of great matchups to kind of circle up on the roster there. I want to see the 49ers' best talent, period. We've talked a lot about the trenches, this camp, and OTAs all offseason, and some of the best talent on the Niners just happens to land in those trenches. Nick Bosa, Trent Williams, even Eric Armstead, top 15 pick a couple of years ago. Let's watch Brian O'Neill and Christian Darrisaw take reps versus one of the most elite pass rushers in the league. And let's see if the rumors are true when we get to watch Darrisaw and Trent Williams on the same field and just how many comparisons we can make between the two. Speaking of Trent, maybe the best tackle in football, by the way. We talked about that when we looked over those ESPN top 10 rankings in the offseason. Yep. How many reps can Hunter and Za'Darius win versus him and Mike McGlinchey, another great tackle in the league? Iron sharpens iron. We say it all the time. Yep. And these trenches will be battling all day in practice Wednesday and Thursday. I mentioned Cam Dantzler versus Debo and Ayuk. Same could be said, as you mentioned, Andrew Booth Jr. I'm really excited to watch him. Again, a lot of these rookies just so valuable to get some playing time and practice rep versus different competition. How many plays can he make? And more so, how much can he learn finally after OTAs and camp versus, you know, the same 5, 6, 7 wide receivers over and over again? How much can he learn and absorb about the different skill sets and just play types he'll face in the NFL at wide receiver week after week? Those are the big ones that stand out. And then you mentioned this guy. I got to mention him too, Trey Lance, who's finally taken over in Mike Shanahan's offense. I'm excited to see what he does in practice, running around, making plays, really testing the defensive communication, I think, early and often. And this is a new defense, Ed Donatell. So that's going to be a great test just to see where, you know, if everybody knows their keys, where they're supposed to be lined up. And then when the play breaks down and Trey Lance rolls out and tries to create something outside the pocket, where their communication's at this point in the offseason. Just a win-win, though, for everybody, being able to sharpen your skills against new competition before Saturday's game and eventually cut-down days. Speaking of cut-down days, doomsday, as they call it, NFL's going to be forced to trim their roster by 5, from 90 to 85 by day's end here today. From what you've seen, what you know about depth at each given position, give us a few players that you think have the most to prove. They really got to prove something here, these final practice days and the game on Saturday versus the Niners, that could end up finding a way to hang on and land a spot as we get into some of these, you know, tough bubble guys.
I think what we've really seen is the depth that they have at running back. And what's tough is if they go ahead and keep a lot of those guys, like, you know, that we saw, like Kane and Ty Chandler, and, you know, you expect them to keep those guys because they drafted those guys. But what's interesting is like, okay, when you have a little bit more depth at some of those positions, and you look at the wide receivers, you know, and you look at guys that, you know, are hoping to make an impact, like, they're deep, man. You got Jefferson, Thielen, Osborne, Smith, Marsette, BC Johnson. And now you're talking about guys who want to, you know, make the roster, like Albert Wilson had a couple touchdowns on Sunday. That bodes well for him. Tristan Jackson, Myron Mitchell, Blake Proehl. Hate to say it, you know, on this line, this guy had meaningful snaps and reps last year, but Ali Udo, like, I saw him in that game, and he was getting pushed around. He was getting bullied a little bit. And so, you know, he's got to show and prove that he has a spot on that line. You know, I was looking at some preliminary, like, depth charts, preliminary, like, 53-man rosters. And it's so funny looking at right tackle, Brian O'Neill, obviously entrenched there. But as far as, like, a backup for him, there's no one – potentially there could be a backup behind all the other guys, but maybe you have the guy who's backing up Darrisaw. Maybe he's like a swing guy for both tackle spots. And so now you're looking at a guy like Udo, who's just like, okay, like we gotta get some things going here. You know, guys like Wyatt Davis, guys like Ben Ellefson, you know, the tight end position is kind of up for the taking, especially with Irv Smith gonna be out to potentially week one. You know, there are a lot of guys all over the field who need to kind of show and prove what they can do. And I didn't even mention anything on defense yet. You know, you got Chaz Surratt, you got Blake Lynch, like you got Luigi Villain, Chris Boyd, like those guys are trying to fight for spots on this roster, and they have something to prove, and they can do themselves a world of good by how they practice this week in those joint practices, and then turn that into game day play on the field on Saturday.
Ole Udo, project coming out of Elon, I think it was a 6th-round pick a few years ago. Massive size, pretty quick. Mm-hmm. Seems like they're still trying to figure out what position he can excel at and just sit in one spot here for a few years and just learn and grow and develop. And I think they figured out after last year putting him in at guard in a pinch. I think he led the league or was at least top three, top five in the league in most penalties, that he is a tackle, and maybe having a backup swing tackle at right tackle or left tackle, being that guy like a Rashad Hill the Vikings had for the handful of years before him, would be a huge service to have behind those starters in Darisaw and O'Neal. You mentioned Albert Wilson, scored 2 touchdowns. This guy scored the only 2 touchdowns on the Vikings. Might not make the team. It's just crazy to think once they trim this thing down to 90 to 53, it's just wild. And then those other two guys, 2 third-round picks from last year. You mentioned one of them, Chaz Surratt, the linebacker, and Wyatt Davis from Ohio State. Remington Award winner in the Big Ten. That's the Big Ten Offensive Lineman of the Year voted by coaches. And just both those guys having a tough time. They got these next few days here. I'm not going to say they're going to get cut in this first wave, but they have to showcase why they were drafted in the third round, if nothing else. They don't need to put it all together, but just showcase the skill set, why they were drafted in the third round and why they were picked in the top 100 picks of last year's draft. And then, you know, top of my head, just to name a few other ones, you look at a lot of those UDFAs, those are a lot of the first and foremost positions that end up getting kind of snipped pretty quickly. You got to look at the snap count from Sunday. It's a huge indicator inside the coach's head. And if you're already a young guy buried on the depth and you aren't getting a lot of playing time, things aren't looking great. Backup tight ends Nick Muse and Sean Beyer played just 3 snaps each on Sunday. It's not a great sign if you're a bubble guy trying to make the team, but if you can have a strong performance these next few days against the Niners, new competition, there's certainly opportunities for both of them, knowing Irv's still out for the next few weeks at least, and the guys ahead of them really haven't done a ton to separate themselves from the pack. So I'll be watching that tight end position closely these next few days as well. Day off yesterday, practice resumes today. That will be closed to the public. And then they end camp with a bang, 2 joint practices Wednesday and Thursday before suiting up for game 2 of the preseason and the first game at the bank Saturday evening, kickoff 6 p.m. Central Standard Time. Who are you most excited about when it comes to the San Francisco 49ers coming into town for these joint practices? Go comment on the YouTube channel. Let us know what you think. 22 days until week 1 of the NFL season. Rest assured, Reggie and I got you covered every step of the way, every day, which you can now find, by the way, streaming on your Roku device. So be sure to look out for Locked On Sports Minnesota app there as well. Pretty cool. Reggie, we made it, man. We're on Roku.
Let's do it. I love it.
We did it.
I love that
we
for
did
us.
It. Mama, we made it. All right. To baseball we go. And go figure, just as we start digging the grave, writing the eulogy, we're about to call it quits on the Twins 2022 season. Everyone's had enough. Reggie, they show a sliver, just a glimmer of hope, a sliver of life, winning versus the Royals last night, 4-2. Max Kepler finally busted out of that 0-for-25 slump. He goes 3-for-4 with an RBI. Joe Ryan, 5 1/3, allows just 2 earned runs. But maybe most impressive, the bullpen with a combo of Thielbar, Jax, Duran, Lopez. No runs the rest of the way. Reg, they went 3-for-10 with runners in scoring position. They left 9 on base, but they find a way to win versus, let's face it, it's a pretty bad team. They've got their next 13 of 18 at home, though. Quick thoughts about last night's game. And what do they need to do to get hot during this pivotal stretch coming up?
Man, they needed that last night, man. Like,
yeah, they did.
They needed it in the worst way. And I think what the hope is that, you know, it could provide a spark. You know, Correa's been heating up lately. He's like, look, the playoffs are on the horizon. That's when it's my time to shine. Let's go. Like, you could tell last night, like, their intensity. Yeah, it's against the Royals, but like each of these games count, especially when you look at a schedule that includes over the next 2 weeks, Houston, San Francisco, and Boston. Like, you're just like, whoa, like let's try to get some wins stacked here, you know. You got the Texas Rangers after this series. They just got rid of their manager, and you're like, okay, maybe we could try to jump out on them a little bit. All it takes is for them to spark a little bit of a fire, and now you're talking about, you know, playing against teams that are, you know, upper echelon, but now you got confidence, and confidence goes a long way. you know, for this team, especially with the coaching staff. There's synergy there with the pitching staff, I should say. There's synergy there with some of the bullpen arms, like, you know, Emilio Pagano side. You know, these guys are doing better. You know, Joe Ryan, a nice bounce back last night after he gave up that home run. You're like, oh man, what's going on with Joe? And he settled in and it was all good. Like, you just need some consistent pitching performances, and then you hope that the bats, you know, break out of, you know, coming into last night, 0 for 18 slump with runners in scoring position. That can't happen when you're in a playoff race. And so with these, like, upper echelon teams coming up on the schedule, like, you just want them to kind of strike fire. Like, it'd be great if they could sweep the Royals. Like, you know, is that too much to ask for a team that you're hoping makes a playoff push? You're two games back of Cleveland now, but now you're also tied with Chicago, two games back of Cleveland. So now it's a foot race with those guys as well. Like, you put yourself in a tough position. You know, they were four and a half games up at the start of July, and then all of a sudden, you know, I think they go like 11 and 18 or something like that over that course. And now, you know, they're in the position that they're in. And now it's put up or shut up time. It's go time. And you're excited. If you're a Twins fan after last night, you're like, okay, like, all right, I can see it. They got to stack these wins, man, and build that confidence, because once they get to the part of the schedule where the Yankees come to town, look, the Yankees have struggled lately. Like, over the last month, they haven't been the Yankees that we expect them to be. And if you strike hot and you get some momentum, and then you got, you know, the Yankees on the schedule, then you can compete with those guys as well. And now all of a sudden, a stretch of the schedule that looked a little bleak for the Twins, now all of a sudden you can turn things around. And that's exciting if you're a fan.
You just wonder if they kind of missed their window with the soft spot of the schedule already come and gone. And now again, it's a gauntlet coming up. Granted, they got their next 13 of 18 at home, which is great, but it's a gauntlet when you just look at the teams that they're about to face. And on the other hand, the Guardians already went through their tough stretch, and now they're on another hot streak. They've just won 7 of their last 8. They just swept the Tigers in Detroit to start last week, and now they'll get the Tigers 4 times at home. So CBS Sports Power Rankings just released. Guardians did jump in the top 10. They're number 9. Twins fall to 15, noting after winning on July 5th, the Twins held a 4.5 game lead in the Central. They've gone, like you said, 11 and 18 since, and now sit in third place. White Sox right behind them at 16. Quick thoughts on the rankings when it comes to the AL Central specifically.
It's fair. They're middle of the pack. And yeah, I think you look at them. I mean, they got leaped by the Orioles, who are playing just some fantastic baseball right now. Like, what is going on in Baltimore?
Where are we at,
you know,
here, man? Yeah.
But funny enough, man, like, you know, they are still two games above a team that they're about to see with San Francisco. They're still three above the Red Sox. Like, these are teams that you are about to play soon. You know, you got the White Sox for a couple series coming up. They're going to have to beat them. Like, I think they are ranked exactly where they should be right now, because they are still good. You know, they're still, you know, several games over 500, so you can't, you know, discount them there. But they don't seem to be, like, surging like they were before, and they seem to be kind of like on a downturn. But it just takes one good series to get hot, to start streaking and turn this thing around, and there's still time to do that.
You know, just as a surface baseball fan, you jump in the standings every, you know, whatever, couple weeks. Interesting to see, as much as the Twins and White Sox have struggled, the Giants are behind them and the Red Sox as well, sitting at 18. They're just 57 and 59. Look at the top 5. Dodgers, clearly the best team in baseball right now, followed by the Mets, the Astros, the Braves at 4, and then the Yankees have really, you mentioned it, they've struggled, man. They've just crumbled the last month and a half. So they're sitting at 5, still 72 and 44 after all that, after all their struggles. Tells you how hot they were at the beginning of the year. This is why baseball is fun. Cardinals 6, Philly 7, Padres 8, I mentioned Guardians 9, and Blue Jays 10 to round out that top 10. Back at home tonight versus the Royals in the backyard here at Target Field. Sonny Gray set to hit the mound, taking on Zach Greinke. If there was ever a time to get hot, again, this is it. We're looking at it. Rest assured, Reggie and I will be back tomorrow to break it all down. All right, Time has come. Favorite segments here. Putting Reggie on the hot seat with What Does It Mean? Covering all the latest hot topics in Minnesota sports. First up, I don't know if you caught this one, ESPN's latest article named one player from all 32 NFL teams that's due for a bounce back season in 2022. For the Vikes, it was Za'Darius Smith, highlighted after missing all of last season with a back injury. When healthy, Smith was one of the most efficient pass rushers over the last few seasons, both with the Ravens and the Packers. And most importantly, he's looked healthy during training camp these last few weeks with a little spring in his step. So what does it mean for Smith and his fit in Ed Donatell's defense, and which other Viking could be in line for another maybe mini bounce back season as well?
Yeah, Za'Darius Smith is very intriguing because when he's healthy, like, he's one of the best pass rushers in all of the league. And so, look, like you said, he looks spry. He looks like he's having fun out there. That's the good part. And usually when you're having fun, that means you're feeling good. You know, there's no ill health effects right there for him. And so I think that's exciting. If you're a Vikings fan, you're like, oh man, like, he's about to come out here and do this thing. And it was encouraging, you know, last year after the injury that he was able to come back and play even just a little bit. So he's had some time to really kind of rehab the injury and really kind of recover from that. And you're hoping to see that he is going to just wreak havoc on opposing offenses this year. Another player, I mean, obviously, to me, like last Sunday, he wouldn't even do the interview with Ben Lieber without his guy on the other side. It's got to be Danielle Hunter as well. Like a guy like that, man, like just two athletic freaks on both sides coming after the, like, I would not want to be a quarterback. Honestly, like, Aaron Rodgers had to play with Za'Darius for the last several seasons, and I'm sure that made him feel really good about himself. And now actually going against them and having to see him on the first game of the season and then have to look on the other side and see Danielle Hunter rush as well, like, I'm already in the ice bath if I'm Aaron Rodgers. Like, it's about to be, like, scary hours in week one with those two guys rushing. And we know what both guys can do. Danielle Hunter's been here. He was on pace for a double-digit sack season last year before going out with the torn pec. And so, you know, he seemed to have bounced back from that neck injury and was ready to really just wreck up the place. And now, you know, coming back, he's hungry, he's motivated. He seems like he has a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, and not just on his shoulder about himself, but really about the whole, like, defensive front. You know, he talked about how he feels like people may have forgotten what they can do. And I think he's ready to wake them up. And so with those two guys, menacing dudes on either side, like, I think both of those guys are primed to have big breakout seasons. And yikes, man, yikes for opposing quarterbacks.
Reggie's going to get me to run through a wall right now, get me jacked up. You know, the Vikings, we talked about a few weeks ago, the Vikings quietly were second in the league last year with the most sacks, 51 sacks. And now Everson Griffin's gone. Michael Pierce is gone. Even guys like Kenny Willekes is gone. I mean, that's another 18 sacks to go around. You look at Za'Darius and Hunter's best seasons. Both came in 2019 when they were both fully healthy. Both posted 90 PFF grades, which is outstanding. And both on pace average playing a full 16-17 game schedule, average about 15 and a half sacks. So you're looking at about 31 sacks combined. I don't think they'll reach that combined, but even if they got 25 sacks combined, that's outstanding. For reference, the Giants had 34 sacks as a team. So if you got that kind of pressure and production from two guys, just two guys, that would be outstanding. And then again, remember the third guy in line, DJ Wonnum, he led the Vikings in sacks last year with 8 sacks as well. Got to imagine he'll get better with another year under his belt entering his third season here as well. One guy.
And the Vikings were at the top of the league. The Vikings were at the top of the league in sacks last year as well. So, like, there is a precedent set here already.
Absolutely. Everybody's just assuming, well, Zimmer's gone. Maybe this defense will look a little different. We won't lead the league and or be top three, top five in certain categories. Players are still there, man. The core unit, the vets are all still there. One guy that we've kind of all written off, me included, I've been pretty hard on him, Patrick Peterson. I know he's looked a little slower in the legs, whatever. dude can still ball, and he's still the team's number one cornerback. Maybe he's due for a little bit more of a bounce back year. Only had one interception last year, so maybe he's due for a little bit more of a
last game too.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, maybe he's due for a little bit more stat production, some more splash plays in a new defense, and maybe we're all too quick to write him off a little bit. Still, dude can play, and having that lockdown number one cornerback we talked about is so pivotal for defensive schematics that you can just kind of lock up one side of the field and do so many extra things with your safeties, putting them in the box, letting them double and triple cover other guys, things like that. So Patrick Peterson could be another guy to circle that could be due for, you know, a mini bounce back season as well under this new Ed Donatell defense. All right, that's a wrap today. We're back tomorrow. More Twins, Vikings, plenty more. Remember, you got to like, rate, review, and subscribe, please, to the YouTube channel. Join us every day for another episode covering all the biggest topics in Minnesota sports. We're a podcast too, free and available on all platforms. Subscribe, drop us that five-star review. Take us everywhere on the go. He's Reggie Wilson. Follow him on Twitter, at Reggie Wilson TV, and on Care 11. I'm Luke Inman on Twitter, at Luke underscore Spinman. Special thanks to our producer, Matt DeBritz. Tune in tomorrow to Superior Sports Talk, part of Locked On Sports Minnesota. For Reggie, I'm Luke. Until tomorrow, signing out.
Be blessed. Spread love today.